So we're continuing a series about what it means to be devoted. And what does it mean? What does it mean to really devote yourself? Because that's what the early church did. And in order to work into our subject matter today, I want to show you a commercial. Now be aware, I am not promoting Ancestry.com, but I think their commercials might illuminate something that I want to share this morning. So Henry and Ian, if you would be so kind as to play that first commercial that I've put in the list.
We dance in a German dance group. I would later hose in. When I first got on Ancestry, I was really surprised that I wasn't finding all of these genders in my tree. I decided to have my DNA tested through Ancestry DNA. The big surprise was we're not German at all. 52% of my DNA comes from Scotland and Ireland. So I turned it in my later motion for a kilt.
Ancestry has an impasse to discovering your story. Get started for free at Ancestry.com.
I like how it said, Ancestry has many paths to discovering your story. And there's two things I wanted to point out about Kyle's little story there. I don't know if it's true or if he's an actor, but it's certainly something that could be true. Kyle had built his life around what he thought was his story. He thought he was German, so he wore lederhosen. I don't know if anyone has lederhosen here. One of the most shameful moments of my life was when I was running the Toronto Marathon and I was passed by a dude wearing lederhosen. And I thought, I'm in the wrong spot. But he thought he was German, so he longed to learn his story and to understand his story, so he tried to become more German. And then he realized that he was actually more Scotland. So like you said, he traded in his lederhosen for a kilt. Here's the point. When he learned the truth about his story, he changed his behavior. Right? Once he realized who he was, all of a sudden he changed the way he was acting. His story changed his behavior. And there's one more commercial I wanted to point out.
Yes, we are twins. When I went on Ancestry, I just put in the name of my parents and my grandparents. And I was getting all these leads, and I was going back generation after generation. You start to see documents, and you see signatures of people that you've never met. I mean, you don't know these people, but you feel like you do. You get connected to them. I wish that I could get into a time machine and go back 100 years, 200 years, and just meet these people. Being on Ancestry, it just made me feel like I belong somewhere.
Discover your story. Start searching for free now at Ancestry.com.
Again, I feel like they made these commercials for my sermon series. It's so perfect. But I want you to think of two of the things that were said in that commercial. The first thing is this. I mean, you don't know these people, but you feel like you do. You get connected to them. One of the songs we sang earlier in the set list is called The Creed. And it's a setting of the classic Creed put to modern music. And in the second verse, it talks about, I believe in the saints' communion and in the Holy Church, or the Holy Catholic Church, depending on what the creed says. When you sing those words, I believe in the saints' communion, you can start to think that it's just referring to us who are alive today now that have a good time together, share communion with each other. But really, the creed talks about it's broader than that. It's not just the saints' communion, it's the communion of saints. And the communion of saints is beyond us here and now. We are this point in time after a long lineage of saints and Christians who have gone before us. And when we are in Christ, we belong to a broader story that involved the saints of all ages. Our story is rooted in their story. Right back to Scripture, when Israel is set free from Egypt and they escape slavery, that's our story. We escape slavery. When they pass through the Red Sea and are delivered from their enemies, that's our story. We are delivered from their enemies. And to quote Ancestry.com, I mean, you don't know these people, but you feel like you do. You get connected to them. Because that is our story as Christians. The other thing that commercial said was, being on Ancestry, it just made me feel like I belonged somewhere. Because knowing your story, knowing who you are, gives you a sense of belonging. It gives you a sense of rootedness. Looking out here, I could pick on so many people and examples but I won't pick on anyone in particular, but people who have told me, you know, this is my family life, this was growing up, this has made me the person who I am today. Knowing your story gives you a sense of rootedness. This is one of the reasons why children who are adopted often try to seek out their biological parents, because they want to feel that they know their full story. The series, again, is about being devoted. And just to switch gears for a moment, I'll just remind you that the early church was a pretty magnificent place to be. The early church was growing in numbers. There was day by day people added to their numbers. The early church experienced signs and wonders. Lame people were walking. Marvelous things were happening. The early church cared for each other so that no one had any needs. They all met each other's needs. It was remarkable, the early church. And when we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we get the first little note of why the early church was like it was. They devoted themselves. They were devoted people. What did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And I shared last week, and this is worth reminding us of, because I know some people weren't here, and it's always worth reminding us of the truth of Scripture. What it means to be devoted is this. It means you are devoted to what you put your strength towards. When you put your effort and your strength, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, whatever you put your effort toward, that's what you're devoted to. But it's more than that. It's not just a one-time do it. It's repeated effort. Whatever you continually and consistently and constantly put your effort to time and time again, that's what you're devoted to. And ultimately, I suggested that we're devoted to whatever we'd give up something else to do. So if you look at your life over this past week, think about the decisions you've made. Think about what you chose not to do in order to do something else. Whatever it is you did, that's what you were devoted to. We're not devoted to the things we think we are sometimes. We think we're devoted to one thing, but our actions show us something else. We are devoted to whatever it is we put other things aside to do. This past Wednesday night was my wife Donna and my 20th anniversary. So she's put up with me for 20 years. So I did something I've never done before in 9 years of ministering here. I skipped prayer meeting. And the reason why is very simple. I am devoted to my wife before I'm devoted to the prayer meeting here at the church. I made that decision last Wednesday night. It's not a decision I made lightly. It's not something I do every day. In fact, it's once in 9 years. But on that Wednesday, I chose. You're devoted to whatever you choose to do at the expense of something else. And so the apostles were devoted. They chose day by day to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to devote themselves to fellowship, to communion, and to prayer. So you might be asking yourself at this point, if you've been paying attention to everything I've been saying, how on earth does that Ancestry.com commercial relate to any of this devoted stuff? So here's the point. The apostles' teaching is what we're focusing on this morning. The early church devoted themselves. They pushed stuff aside so they could focus their energy and strength repeatedly on the apostles' teaching. And why? Because the apostles told them their new story. The apostles' teaching told them that the story they thought was theirs is much bigger than they knew. When they became a follower of Christ, when they submitted to the Holy Spirit, when they experienced the life of God, all of a sudden the story that used to control their lives doesn't quite do it anymore. And the apostles had to teach them their new story. The Jewish people had an amazing story, and it's our story as well. Those who were Jewish, good Jewish people in that early church that decided to follow Jesus as their Messiah, they believed that one God created heaven and earth and everything that exists. They believed that that one God created human beings, you and I, who rebelled against God and went our own separate way. But God wasn't going to put up with that because he loves us so much he sent a rescue plan. And his rescue plan was to choose a people for himself. And he chose Abraham, who gave birth to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and so on and so on and so forth. And the Israelite nation rose up as God's chosen people. And the people who experienced Pentecost that day, the Jewish God-fearing people, knew their story. They knew that they sinned, and so God judged them. And so they weren't living in control of their land like they had hoped, but they were hoping one day that God would vindicate them. The apostles told them something else. They said that's not quite the whole story. That rescue that you're longing for, it happened. His name was Jesus, and you killed him. And they were cut to the heart. They said, well, what should we do? He said, repent and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so the apostles' teaching was so much bigger. Yes, there was one God, creator of heaven and earth, but he was never alone and he was never lonely, because he existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be hearing these things for the first time. If so, it's going to take a while to unpack, and I'll have to do that another day. But I want to kind of get the big picture in our minds. This was the apostles' teaching. There was one God who exists from all eternity as Father, Son, and Spirit. God was never lonely, but he was a community. One God, three persons. He chose to create everything we see just purely for his own pleasure, just because he wanted to. He created a people, humans, you and I, to have relationship with him, but we turn away and we do our own things and we rebel from God. The Bible calls that sin. And so God launched a rescue plan, and he started with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and called the Israelite people. But they were flawed like we are flawed. And they sinned like we sinned. And ultimately, Jesus came. Ultimately, God knew that it would take more than a human being to rescue human beings. So he sent the eternal Son, who took on human flesh and became God and man in one person, and who lived the perfect life, who perfectly obeyed his Father and died after a perfect life lived. And in doing so, he rescued us from our sin. And he has called us back into fellowship with him. It's a huge, massive story, but here's the point. Because of Jesus, you and I can have relationship with God our Father, who we were singing to this morning. Because of Jesus, we are rescued. It's all because of Jesus. That was the story. The apostles, what they did in their teaching was they explained how Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the scriptures, and how God's goal now is to use us. We're called the body of Christ, the communion of saints. Use us to help rescue the rest of creation. It's to spread, it's to go on, to reconcile all things to God. So this is why the apostles' teaching was so important, because just like those people from Ancestry.com, just like the guy who thought he was German and then all of a sudden realized he needed to wear a kilt, all these people needed a change of story. They needed to recognize that there was more going on in their life than they knew. And that's what the apostles taught. The apostles then wrote the New Testament, the what you have in your Bible in front of you. Again, some of this will be rudimentary for some of you. For others of you, it'll be too much information all at once, but that's the nature of preaching to a broad group of people. But I have a slide I wanted to show you. I think it's the next one. The New Testament, in case you're new to it, has four stories of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke continues on with a second volume of history called Acts. And those are kind of our historical information about Jesus, his ministry, and the early church. And then the rest of the New Testament are, with one exception, letters. Paul, the apostle, wrote a number of letters: Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon,
Timothy, Titus. And then there were other people. James wrote a letter. Peter wrote two letters. There's this Hebrews letter that's broader that we don't know who wrote it. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then Revelation, this epic apocalyptic book. This is what the apostles wrote down. And because they wrote these things down, and because the church carefully collected and preserved these documents throughout the years, we have the apostles' teaching in our very own hands. It's really remarkable. These letters, these documents that we have in our very own hands, the Bible calls them inspired. You know what the word inspired means? Breathed into. Inspired, it has Latin roots, and it means to breathe into something. And when God created human beings, he formed our shape out of dust on the ground, and he breathed into us. He literally inspired us, and we came alive. What happened on the day of Pentecost? God's wind blew into the place and inspired those people and made them come alive in a deeper spiritual sense. In a not unrelated way, the teaching of the apostles, this New Testament we have, is inspired by God. It's God breathed. And we have this treasure, and we sometimes ignore it. Or we think it's old, or we think it's boring, or we don't have time for it, or there's all sorts of things. But we have the inspired Word of God in front of it. The apostles' teaching. And it's an amazing thing. The apostles, you see, they not only taught the big story, they also made it practical. When you look at some of the letters that were written to the church, you'll see that there's all these theological thoughts, and then there'll be a turning point where he says, and now, this is how you should live because of it. The apostles' teaching got very practical at times. You should take off the old self. So stop lying to each other. Stop slandering each other. All that stuff. Instead, put on the new. You need to live in this way, not like that. The apostles' teaching was very practical and very specific. And when he wrote to a church in a certain area, when one of the apostles would write to a certain church, he would give information that was necessary for that church to exist. It was applied and it was practical. And this is where I have to bring out a practical point that's going to sound maybe a little bit arrogant or a little bit boasting, but I don't mean it that way. Here's the thing. If you belong to this congregation, hearing what the teachers, primarily me, of this congregation share are important. Other preachers, podcasts, television preachers won't cut it. And it's not because I'm better. In fact, almost there's so many amazing, better communicators and preachers and teachers out there. There's so many good podcasts. There's podcasts. It depends on your generation, right? Whether you watch the TV preachers or listen to podcasts. But I'm more of a podcast guy. But anyways, there's lots of great teaching out there. But here's the thing. God speaks to his local body in a very personal and applicable way that we need to understand. This teaching on devotion was something I wrestled with for a long time. It's something I struggled with for a few months because I wasn't. It's out of my comfort zone of preaching. I usually just preach expositorily. I take a passage of scripture and teach it to you. But I felt God saying, no, this is important for our church at this time. And that's something you can't get anywhere else. Just like the apostles, when they applied the story of God to a specific situation, that's what I endeavor to do, for better or for worse. Every Sunday I stand up here. I try to take the story of God and prayerfully, with prayer and preparation and writing and rewriting and writing again and then feeling inadequate on Saturday night, so rewriting it yet one more time and then getting up early Sunday morning and reading it through while Chase reads me Peanuts comics beside me, just to make sure I have it right. This is the sort of effort that goes into teaching God's Word on Sunday mornings. There's lots of really good preachers and teachers out there.
But I believe that God speaks to us in a way that we need to understand as a body. That's what this is. The apostles' teaching, they taught the story of God, they wrote the New Testament, they applied it to the local church. The apostles' teaching was essentially a story transplant. People believed one thing about themselves, and that was changed. The one person thought he was German, turned out he was Scottish. That had changed. Other people, their stories are changed. That's what Ancestry.com tries to sell you. Learn your story and your life could change. Because we all have stories that define us. We all have a narrative or a story that we believe about ourselves that describes who we are. Some of us are defined by our work. When we do what it is we do, that's our story. And that's where we find our strength and that's where we find our value. Some of us follow the narrative that we're a survivor. Been through all sorts of horrible things in life, but every time I rise above, my story is I'm a survivor. Some of you might have a story about yourself that thinks, I'm just a hopeless case. No matter what I do, it doesn't turn out right. These are the sort of stories that unintentionally control a lot of who we are and who we become. For some of you, your story is I'm a family man. Or, I am a family woman. I am a person that's devoted and committed to my family. Sometimes there's stories about us that we don't even realize are true. I'm a consumer. I find my value in what it is I purchase. And if I have better things than those around me, then I am valuable. What does it mean to push all of those stories to the side and say, here's my story. I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. What would it mean if we took all of those stories that define us? And I know this is a big ask, and I know how impossibly hard this must seem for some of you right now, but what if we took those things that we grew up with and just mentally shifted them to the side for a second and said, you know what my story is? I follow Christ. The Spirit of God that formed me out of the dust of the earth lives in me right now. What if we follow the apostles' teaching in a devoted way and transferred our stories, had a story transplant? We're teaching Colossians on Wednesday nights downstairs, and the next slide has a scripture from Colossians. It's one of my favorites. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. When you become a Christian, you're pulled out of the domain of darkness and your membership is transferred to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And with that membership transfer comes a new story. We don't have to be enslaved to the old stories that we used that used to control us anymore. Before we became a Christian, before people call Christianity their story, there's so many trends in the world that try to suck us in. I tried to think of an example of what a silly, ridiculous trend is in the world. And so I asked Chase if I could borrow his fidget spinner. I thought about walking around and spinning it when I was talking to you all this morning, but you'd all think I'm crazy, so I didn't. But do you know what a fidget spinner is? How many know what a fidget spinner is? Right. It's a little device, it's a little toy with ball bearings in the center that spins. This is all it does. It doesn't light up or sing to you or play music. All it does, some of them do, yeah, of course. It spins. This, in my mind, is the epitome of a ridiculous trend. It follows the long line of Beanie Babies and Cabbage Patch and whatever else it was that inspired you when you were younger. But there are trends in this world that are deeper and more deeply rooted. Like I said, consumerism, the desire to spend, greed, wanting more than we can afford, wanting more, finding our value in things rather than a person. There's so many trends, there's so many stories, there's so many narratives that seek to define us. But when we become Christians, when we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, we can take these trends and put them away. I thought of throwing this, but it's my son's and I better not. So I'm going to carefully put it in my pocket. And the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, quote, day by day. They didn't just get it once. It wasn't like they went to a seminar and they said, oh, perfect, I got it. See you next year when I renew my credentials. It was day by day they devoted themselves to this. Daily they chose to take time to devote themselves and their strength and their efforts and put other things to the side so they could focus on the apostles' teaching, so they could focus on what their new story is, because you can't just get it in a once-off dose. I put a picture of pills on the side. Sometimes I think you can judge how old someone is by how many pills they take every day, but that's besides the point. I take one pill a day, I'll be honest with you. It's for cholesterol. High cholesterol runs in my family, and since the time I was a little boy, I had high cholesterol. I took one little pill, and it perfectly levels out my cholesterol. It puts me right where I need to be. If I stop taking that pill, and even if I go on a starvation diet of greens, my genetics are such that my cholesterol goes up. It's a bit of a stretch. But I want you to think of our story transplant in this way. We are immersed in the stories of this world. And if you don't have a day-by-day dose of your true story, it's so easy to get sucked back in to the world's definitions of value, the world's definitions of what's important, the world's definitions. We are called to be children of God. The apostles' teaching has given us a new story that I urge you to take day by day. So here's what I'm urging you to do. This is the point of this message. I urge you, devote yourselves. You know what that word means now. Devote yourselves to scripture reading. If that seems like an impossible task, or you don't know where to start, or you've started and failed, or any of that stuff, talk to me sometime. Come in and let's chat, because there are strategies, there are ways that we can do this together. But devote yourself to it so you will know your story day by day. And devote yourself to the teaching of this church. Again, I'm not saying that because I'm arrogant or because I think I'm better than anyone else, because I know many preachers are better than me, far more superior in their communication skills. I'm saying that because God has something specific and applicable to teach our body together. So I urge you, if we want to be like the early church, let's ask the Spirit of God to help us devote our lives to the apostles' teaching. Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you called us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgive us of sins. We thank you that we are not left at the whims of the stories of this world, but we know that we have a Father who loves us, who created us, who inspired our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies. We thank you, Lord, that we are followers of Jesus Christ, who has showed us the way to be truly human. We thank you for all of this, and I pray that you would motivate us this week. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do this work. This another thing, Lord, our will is oftentimes so weak. So we pray you'd help us, help our weak wills, and inspire us to devote our lives to the apostles' teaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.